And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
Right. I'm just going to play us in a little bit.
When are you going to tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
Morning, every day.
On my trail schedule.
Yeah. Congratulations on the sale, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous.
Sorry?
Getting a little nervous.
Are you? Why?
Just traveling over the ocean.
You'll be fine. You taking a boat?
No. Flying.
All right. Fair enough, man. So, you good to go? You good to start? Oh, perfect. All right. So tell me everything. So where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Okay. And high school was good, bad, ugly?
Fights, you know, school suspension, that kind of stuff.
What'd you do to get suspended?
I and my best friend ended up fighting a girl and her friend at 8:30 at night, and they said we brought her to school the next day, so I got suspended for 3 days, and then couldn't get back into school without my parents, so the other girls got into school without their parents, so my mom had to take off of work, and then my best friend Kim that passed away, her parents had to come up there, and, are we recording right now? Okay, and, my mom went up there, and she's got the biggest mouth. Single mother of 3 kids, you know, working 2 jobs, and she made it worse for me, so I got an extra 2 days.
Nice.
She was not that kind with her mouth, so to the principal, and he was black, so yeah.
Wow.
He got me a couple more extra days.
Oh, shoot, man.
Didn't get along with the preppies in school, snotty kids, ones that had money, you know.
Right.
The clique, you know, so ended up fighting with them a lot, getting in-house to school attention and stuff like that. So,
wow.
3 or 4 times. So, yeah, I was a scrapper. I was a...
You're a bad girl then.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. And then after high school, what happens? Do you go to college or do you go to work or what do you do?
My best friend's brother... was in the military, and him and I hooked up, and we moved to South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
He was in the Navy, and he left me with $3 for 3 weeks to survive in South Carolina. I had no idea where I was at, where I was going, what the hell I was doing. Almost got kidnapped. I walk into the store to return some bottles by a car full of Mexicans. They cornered me, and I ended up running back to my apartment, locking the door, and scrouching down the corner, crying like a little baby.
How did they almost kidnap you?
I was walking this way to the store, and there's a street right here, and they blocked me.
Oh, shit.
And opened up the door, so I turned around and went the other way.
How do you know they wanted to kidnap you?
They got out of the car and was coming after me.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's not okay. So $3 and a car full of guys trying to kidnap you.
Mm-hmm. So I had to give blood to donate. $25, yes, to get me some eggs and some bread, stuff like that, some stuff to make tea with, and... Yeah, and then I ended up going out. Well, he had some girlfriends that he knew, which I didn't know he was messing around with. They were hanging around me. I didn't know he was messing around with them. So we ended up going to just driving around, and I had his car. He finally got a car, so driving around in my husband's car at that time, and we was driving through a parking lot, and there was a nightclub. And this guy drove by in a Corvette, and I thought he was a black man, and my girlfriend's like, no, turn around and go see him. So I turned around, we drove around, and lo and behold, that'd be my next husband.
Oh.
I ended up, my first husband was supposed to be coming home, and here's my new boyfriend that I had that treated me well, fell asleep in my apartment on the floor with me, and my husband at that time was coming home from the military.
No, don't even.
The floor, and I didn't know if he was going to walk in or not, but he was able to get out on time. And, yeah, I ended up leaving him for the husband that I had for 25 years I had kids with.
Oh, wow. All right. So then you're married for 25 years. And how many kids? Oh, sorry. How many kids?
I have two. I have a boy and it's 35 and a daughter that'll be 33 this year.
Wow. All right. So my daughter just graduated high school. I spent the whole weekend crying. It was ugly.
Oh, yeah. My daughter's breaking my heart right now off and on. So she's still a military man. He's not real liked and stuff. So she doesn't call me anymore like she should, have communication with me. Like we used to be best friends 2-3 times a day. We used to call each other and, you know, at least 4 times a week. And you see the grandchildren. Now I'm getting little of that. Of course, she's got 4 kids now and she's working 2 on the weekends. And she just follows what he says and does. And it just irritates me. And so it's hurting my feelings right now. So
I'm sorry. That's not cool. So then, all right. So now, 25 years, what happens to that marriage?
I believe he's stepping out on me. He's not coming home to 2-3 in the morning. He's got lipstick on his collar.
That'll do it.
I found we were having our house redone and, I needed the debit card, Home Depot debit card to get our floors. And I didn't have mine, so I was going through his wallet to get his. And lo and behold, I come along a phone number by the name of the girl named Cream.
Wow.
So that's where it started.
No, nobody's parents really named them Cream, by the way.
Yeah. So that started the ball rolling right there. And it's just kept escalating. I couldn't take it anymore. He was allowing my son, when he turned 18, to have a revolving door in my house with women, girls, I should say. And then next thing, I was working because I worked at Walmart. My son came to me with this girl that he was going to marry by the name of Victoria. And he brought a ring and showed me the ring. And I about shit my pants. And here he is, 18 years old. He's supposed to be going off to college. I got everything ready for college for him to go to Rutledge College. And he decided he wasn't going to go. Going to stay at work. Yeah. And then he said he's going to marry this girl. And I told him, no way, you don't need to be marrying this girl. And he goes, I'm going to do it whether you like it or not. And he's arguing me while I'm at work. And next thing I know, I come home from Walmart and all her luggage is in my house.
Oh.
No questions asked. My ex decided it was okay for her to move in. So she's walking around in her little negligees and nighties and all this kind of stuff in my house. And she's only 18 years old and I'm having to deal with this and having to take care of my mom at the same time with Alzheimer's and working. And, you know, I took care of his parents. They lived across the street from us and they were great. They're wonderful people. I took care of them. So they both died.
All right, your mom, Alzheimer's caregiving is a nightmare.
She came down to South Carolina when the year 2000.
Okay.
So-called brother-in-law. I'm a twin. I don't talk to my twin.
Okay.
And I haven't seen her in 14 years right now. And he said my mom had dementia, Alzheimer's, and they didn't want to take care of her. So I told my sister, you better take care of my mom before I get it till I get up there. If not, I said, you and I are going to have out at it. You know, I was really going to, I told him point blank, I was opening a can of whoop ass on her. And she knew better. And so I got in and brought my mom down 2000, took her license away from her because she had no idea where she was driving it anyways down the south. So
right.
Every place. So and my main thing was trying to get her to quit smoking because she was a smoker and I didn't want her smoking with Alzheimer's and burn the house down.
Right.
So
yeah.
I wanted to quit smoking and stuff like that. And,
did she live with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
She lived with me until I came up here and I brought her up here to Michigan with me. Yeah.
And did it get to the point where just every meal is you, all the laundry is you?
Everything is me taking care of her. She got to the point where we decided to put her into a home down the road from us, about a mile down the road from us. She started seeing children playing in the power line next door. We lived next door to a substation. And she was seeing little kids out there about 4 in the morning. She'd wake Al and I up and wanted to go outside and go get these kids.
Ooh.
And we had to put a lock on the refrigerator because she was eating out of us house and home.
Right.
She didn't know when she ate and when she did not eat, you know, that's what weren't being prepared. So she was eating outside of house and home. So we'd put a lock on the refrigerator. And it just got to that point where she wasn't remembering anything anymore and started wandering with neighbors that were walking down the street with their dogs. And she went to the party store one time, called the cops on me. She was in a, I put her into like a daycare during the day to advance her mind when they had one available. And somehow with another lady in there got a hold of Department of Human Services and they came knocking on my door. I don't know how she did it, but they came knocking on my door wondering what was going on with my mom. And I had to have another inspection of the house and make sure she had her own room and had food in the refrigerator. And yeah, I don't know how she did that one. Yeah.
What did that feel like? I mean, were you mad? Were you sad? Were you?
I was flabbergasted because I didn't think somebody with capacity with that type of brain would know how to do something like that.
Right. Right.
And she had a lawyer's number.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I think the lady that was in the nursing home with her was a little bit smarter than my mom and had talked to her. Maybe my mom wrote some stuff down or whatever. I don't know what the deal was, but that got all cleared up and they said, everything's fine. The house is fine. Your mom's doing good. She has her room. It's clean in here. You know, don't worry about case closed.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. You know, so
did your mom pass?
Yeah, she passed away, 2022. I think it was.
Okay.
I still have her ashes here. We're getting ready to put her in the ground at my dad's feet next week. We sold the house. I'm going to put her on my dad's feet. I mean, she never remarried. She loved my dad to death. And so I called the cemetery and they said I didn't need any paperwork or anything. It didn't have to be writ up that way, but there's a spot. You can all have two people in one plot. So I'm going to put her up. She's been cremated, so she's going to go at my dad's feet.
Oh, that's kind of beautiful.
Yeah. So I'm going to put her at my dad's feet.
Yeah. Do you, were you sad when it happened or relieved when it happened or? Both or
when my mom passed away?
Yeah.
I was relieved. It would get to the point the last week that I was going up to the nursing home. She remembered who I was. She had a twinkle. She had a twinkle in her eye. She touched my face. She smiled. She knew who I was. So I was okay with that.
Right. She's having a good day. Yeah.
And I knew things were getting close. And, they called me that night and let me know she passed away. I could have came up there, but I didn't want to go up there and see her. And I don't want to remember her touching my face and that smile on her face.
Right.
My brother and sister never went up to the nursing home to see her. There's nobody in the family that went up there to see her. The only ones up there was Al and I. And my daughter went up there one time when she was still living with us here. And the pastor from our church went up there and said a blessing for her. My mom was adopted when she was 5 and my dad left home when he was 16. So I have no family. I don't know anybody in my family. On Ancestry. And I got a hold of this guy. This guy got a hold of me and he knows my dad's sisters and they're in their 90s. And one of them just passed away. So I know I have longevity on my dad's side. It's just alcoholism on my dad's side.
You drink?
I was a drinker. Yeah, I drank pretty heavy when I was down south, when I was going through my marriage, when I was having difficulty with my marriage. I was going through almost a 12-pack a night.
Ooh, that's big.
Yeah, at 120 pounds, I was going through almost 12-pack a night.
Did you stay at 120 pounds?
I stayed at 120 pounds until I got up here and finally was able to relax, because he told me if I ever got fat, he would divorce me. And he's almost 300 pounds.
Right, right. Well, yeah, but he's not. Al doesn't drink, right?
No, he's not a drinker. He's not really. It's a social occasional here and there.
Right. Okay, so how do you meet Al?
Huh?
How do you meet Al?
Online. We went to school together, and I was just on Facebook scrolling through one day and saw his picture, and we just started up a conversation. He graduated a year ahead of me.
Okay.
He knew my sister.
All right.
For me, back in high school, I knew my sister.
Did he date your sister?
No, she was a bitch. He wouldn't have nothing to do with her. No, a lot of people went to L for a lot of things. He was pretty popular in school, so, you know.
Oh, okay. So you meet online. When did you physically meet?
We started talking in June of 2009. And I think I came up here. I brought my daughter with me because I wasn't quite sure exactly what type of person he was. So I brought my daughter with me. Do you remember what month it was? I don't know. So like 3 or 4 months later.
Okay.
Could have been December. Could have been November, December. I came up here with my daughter, stayed a couple days. I told my ex, my ex-husband now at the time, that I was going to Florida to see my girlfriend. Don't bother me. Don't call me any all weekend long. I want to get away from you. I want some time to myself to think. Don't call me. Don't bother me. I knew where I was going. So I parked the car at the parking, the airport, and her and I went and caught the plane, came here, spent a few days here, went to the airport, and almost missed the flight. They had to hold it on the tarmac for my daughter and I. We almost missed the flight. And I had to be to work that night.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so I got home about 4 o'clock, got home, changed my clothes by 5, and was outdoor by 5:30, and work was just, I worked at Walmart. I was up the road, fires up the road, so I had to be there by 6.
Was it love at first sight? Like, did you know?
Yeah, there was feelings there. I was the one that said he loved me first. I made sure he said that. I didn't say it. He said it. His best friend Scott, tried to talk him in not to get involved with me after he knew what he went through meeting another woman online, you know, out in California and going through all that shenanigans that he went through. Scott didn't want him having anything to do with me. He said, oh, she's just going to use you. She's going to dump you. Blah, blah, some of that. So Al kind of broke up with me over the phone, broke my heart. I had lingerie and stuff up here. I told him to save it, pack it for me when I got to my apartment. Please send it to me. And he felt bad. He got thinking about it and he couldn't do it. And we just started talking again and just talked things out. And then we've been together ever since.
How long have you been together?
We've been together since met in 2009. I came up here April 1st of 2010.
Okay. So wait, I can do that. So 15 years.
Yep.
When did he tell you his backstory?
We talked a little bit when we first started talking online about what went on with him and stuff. And there was nights where he had pretty rough nights when I was in my apartment because I left my husband and took his credit card and put $5,000 worth of rent on his credit card for my daughter and I down the road. I wasn't playing. I figured you owe me this, what you did to me, so I'm getting out of the house. I had a feeling I knew I wasn't going to be able to afford to live there with the money I was making. I was going to have to get another job. But anyways, he started talking to me a little bit about it on the phone and telling me he met a girl online out in California by the name of Autumn and what she had did to him and thought she was a part of what he went through. In fact, he's got a tattoo on his arm that he had covered up. He had his name, her name on his arm. So I had him shaded in. He's got to get it reshaded because it's starting to come through again.
You don't strike me as the type of woman who would tolerate somebody else's name on your husband's arm.
No, no. And I used to sit at nighttime. He would have a hard time going to sleep. So I would sit there and soothe him on the phone and say, just listen to my voice. Listen to what it sounds like. Talk to me. Calm yourself down. Everything's going to be okay. You know, you're locked in your house. You have your service dog, you know, and he gave me a couple words to go by. If anything, where he got too bad, say a couple words to him that would bring him back to me, you know? So we were starting to talk and stuff. I mean, at first it was like an unbelievable story. You wouldn't think anybody would go through anything like that. Anybody could go through anything like that.
Yeah.
That evil out in the world, you know, I couldn't imagine and stuff. But yet he still wanted to protect me at the same time. He's always looking over his shoulder and stuff.
Yeah. Do you, did it give you second thoughts, like getting involved with somebody that goes through what Al goes through?
No, because I had issues myself. So to me, you know what I'm saying? I had issues myself. So who am I to judge somebody else when I have issues myself going on? I was thinking about what I was going through too. So not only I had mine, I was thinking about his, you know.
That's kind of perfect, isn't it? I love the idea that like the best person for a wounded person is another wounded person.
It is. Just to lean the strength. There's strength there to lean on. There's some type of strength that you can find in some, no matter what the situation is, you can find, you can lean on somebody about something in a store.
And it, like, people who've gone through shit know what going through shit is.
Right.
You recognize it, and you're not as terrified of it as people who haven't gone through.
Right. I mean, I was abused as a child, and that wasn't fun. I have severe anxiety and depression. Manic depression. And anxiety really bad. In fact, I just got my doctor up my medicine to 4 tablets a day instead of 3.
Do you think that's a result of the trauma, or do you think it's just you?
I think as a result of being such a caregiver since a young age, at 9 years old, I was caregiving.
Who were you caregiving at 9?
My grandmother. I was giving her shots in her leg. She had something like osteoporosis. 9? Yeah, she was taught me how to give her a shot through an orange.
Right.
First, and then I would put it in her leg at 9 years old. I remember doing that.
That'll traumatize you.
And babysitting it. Back in those days, you could babysit at 8, 9 years old.
Right.
I was caregiving for neighborhood's kids when they're all going to the bars. And I've always been taking care of somebody my whole life. There's not been a day that's gone by I'm not taking care of somebody.
Man, what do you take care of you, or
now through Al, I'm learning to take care of myself and let things go. Like, don't let my kids bother me. You know, they'll come around. He tells me the grandchildren will come around when they get of age. I'm now learning. I have to take care of myself now that I'm going towards 60. Now I have to take care of myself.
You're going towards 60.
Yeah. I'll be 59 this year. Yeah.
You look great. Congratulations.
I'm getting the gray. It's starting to come in now. I need to get a dye job.
Really? I think I got you beat. So what about you? So you're obviously good at it because, you know, to Al's been through so much trauma to make 15 years of a life with somebody who has been, you have to be an amazing wife, and you also have to be an amazing caregiver at the same time. What do you think it is about you that makes you such a good caregiver?
I guess it's the knowledge of everything I've gone through in life. I mean, I've taken care of my grandmother. My grandfather had issues after he had open heart surgery. I had to help put ointment and stuff in his wounds and sores. Their child, which my grandparents aren't really my grandparents. They just known me ever since I'd been born. They actually took the role on as far as grandparents. And my mom's best friend. Well, his son, I call him my uncle. Well, at that time, he got in a severe motorcycle accident in his 30s and flew 50 feet up in the air and came crashing down. Well, he's got the brain metabolism of a 13 to 15 year old. And he got really jealous of us kids, me and my brother and sister, when we were younger, especially at Christmas time, because like my mom didn't have money to buy us winter coats.
Right.
My dad was only paying $26 a month child support for 3 kids.
Oof.
Yeah, back them days. And so my grandparents would step in and buy us clothes or like winter coats and stuff. And then my mom would whisper in her ear, go thank your grandparents, it's from them. But he couldn't say it in front of Peter because Peter would get mad. Peter threatened to kill us. I had to actually crawl on the floor in front of windows in my house when I was a teenager because threatened that he was going to come by and shoot us through the window.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So you have PTSD yourself, right?
I probably have a touch of it. I haven't declared it, but I'm sure I got a touch of it.
Right. When Al's struggling, does it trigger you, or are you one of those people, like some people when they've gone through trauma and they're next to trauma, like somebody else has gone through it, some people it triggers and they get all heightened anxiety, and some people go right down to zero and are just like calm and like, this is what we're going to do. Which one are you?
I calm down. I pretty much calm. He's gone through abuse too, being ritual. I mean, sexual abuse as a child, like I have.
Right.
That gets triggered, especially when we go to family reunions, because that idiot wants to sit with us at our table.
We're always stuck
with him, and I don't know why, but for the past year or so, he's been sitting with his sisters, but he always sits with us. Well, he's got MS now, so karma came back and bit him in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's walking with a cane. He can barely walk and stuff. So, I mean, it comes back. But it, my is like my brother attempted it on me and didn't get there, but it's just the fact that when he tried it, it actually went through with Al.
Right.
You know, and so as I try to comfort him as, you know, and tell him, you know, it's okay, you're grown, you got through this, you're here with me, you're safe, you survived for a reason. I mean, he gets mad at God and cusses him out. And I said, don't be like that, because if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be here right now. There's somebody looking after you right now. And the only person I can think of is God right now.
Right.
But, you know, like, I don't care about him. He could go to hell, you know, and he gets so mad. But then I got to calm him down and then realize, like, right now, he's having issues with his mother. This whole week has been his mother on his mind. So he wants to take the rest of the furniture we have in the house that belongs to his mom. And he wants to smash it and get rid of it, which I'm trying to get his cousin up here. She's here Monday, and she's got a storage unit to put. I took pictures. If she wants any of the furniture left, she can come get it, because otherwise it's going to be gone. Bye-bye. He doesn't want any of it in storage or nothing.
Right.
It reminds him of her.
Do you, who, are you like the decision maker in the family, or does it depend on?
We're pretty much 50-50. We talk it out, and it's 50-50. I mean, he likes to spend money. I don't.
What does he spend money on?
Just if he sees something that he likes and he wants it, he'll get it.
Fair enough. All right.
And, yeah, I'll be like a day or two later. I'm like, what is this? He goes, I ordered this. I'm like, are you what? You know?
How do you, I like love talking to married couples about how they handle money. How do you handle money?
What money?
Okay. Fair enough.
It's paycheck to paycheck. That's why we're leaving and going to Thailand. I mean, try to save some money and survive. And it's a struggle.
Yeah.
You're both on disability.
Yeah. And why are you on disability?
I have depression, anxiety, and back pain.
Yeah. Are you still bipolar? Oh, God.
I have bipolar too.
Do you take medication for that?
I was on a medication for it, and I just got off it in December. I just had enough of it. It causes dementia, and that's what my mom has. And my brother has dementia right now, and he's a year older than I am. He's 13 months older than I am. He's got it from drinking.
Oh, okay.
His drinking runs the male side of my dad's side of the family. Everybody was an alcoholic on my dad's side of the family.
Right.
So my brother got it from drinking, and I don't want it from medication right now. But the only thing I'm on right now that causes dementia is the diazepam, which is the anxiety medication.
Yeah.
I've got a bottle here. I just got filled yesterday. And it'll probably be the last bottle. You're allowed to get that stuff over in Thailand, over the counter, over there.
Okay.
If I want it. So I'm going to wing myself off this bottle here. And if I do need it, I'll just go to a pharmacy and pick up a box of it, or however they sell it over there, and just take it when needed, that day or whatever.
Make sure you wean yourself, though. I was on, I was taking, you know what lithium is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I quit lithium cold turkey. Don't do that.
Al does everything cold turkey too, and it worries me. He'll just throw it in the trash if you don't.
Cold turkey's not the way to go, man. It's
no,
you just make yourself suffer for no reason.
Yeah. I get to where my heart flutters really bad. I gotta catch my breath. I almost need a paper bag to breathe in. I get bad anxiety. I mean, I cry now. It has to get me calmed down, blow my face, and get me, wave my face with something to get me cooled down. I get really hot.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you know what peace is? Do you think you know peace ever?
I'm trying to find it. I'm hoping to find it. When I go over there, it's more of a slow pace.
Yeah.
Over there. So in its tranquility, I'm thinking the way it looks. I'm hoping it's the same way.
Yeah.
That I will find it.
Yeah. If this is any help at all, like, I spent my whole adult life in Westchester County in New York, right? And I grew up in upstate New York, and a couple years ago I started working in upstate New York, And just that change of scenery has made such a huge difference for me.
Mm-hmm.
It can work is my point to you. It can work.
I've made peace with my brother.
That's good.
I didn't tell, I didn't exactly talk to him about it because the way his situation is, but just in my mind and with God, I've made peace with myself.
Right.
Simply for the fact when my mom and dad got divorced, we moved in with the neighbors next door because we had no place to go. And that guy was a child molester. He was molesting his daughters. And I guess his daughters molested my brother. And that's where my brother got it from. So that's where he in turn tried it on me. So it really wasn't his fault. He was taught.
Right.
So that's where I have peace and I just forgive him and let it go. He's got enough issues going on now. So it crosses my mind, but
yeah,
I just let it go. I don't think about it that often and stuff. But yeah,
how do you think you broke the cycle of all that? Because
I refuse to go through what my parents put me through. I refuse to put my kids through that.
Yeah.
So every time when I was raising my kids, I did totally opposite what my parents did.
Right, right.
Because I came from a dysfunctional family, and now I feel like my kids came from a dysfunctional family because I couldn't hold marriage together. I held the other for 25 years, and I couldn't do it anymore. But they were grown when I left, so it's not like they were little like I was when my parents split.
Yeah, yeah.
Difference. So I still have that guilt, not being able to stay married. You know,
I have an anti-marriage rant. You ready? I think in 100 years, marriage will be illegal as it currently constituted now. And I tell my daughter, no, I'm not talking about a lifelong commitment to somebody. I'm not talking about raising a family. I'm talking about the financial and legal construct of marriage, I think will be illegal. And here's why. I tell my daughter this all the time. If the law required you to put every single penny you own in one bank, and over half the time that bank failed, and it cost you had to pay somebody $20,000 to get 50% of your money back,
mm-hmm.
That bank would be illegal. That bank would be something. That's what marriage is.
Right, right.
So I have this whole theory that eventually, that sooner rather than later, we're going to evolve out of the legal contract. I think you needed marriage. If John has a farm and needs Denise to make kids to work on the farm, then marriage works. Because I got to keep you on the farm. I can't let you have any choices, right? But then it works. But guess what? John doesn't have a farm anymore. And we figured out over time that Denise has as many options in life as John does. So we don't need to bind each other that way anymore.
Right, right, right.
You know? I wonder how many people stay together just because it's too expensive to be apart. And think about what a waste of life that is to do that.
Well, that's what my ex was like. He goes, you leave, you're going to make things worse. It's going to make things worse on whose end? he came to my apartment when Al and I were, well, first of all, he came to my apartment when the day that I was leaving, he walked right up into my apartment, opened up my bedroom door and expected to find Al and I in the bedroom. And he had the balls to do that. And we were standing in the living room.
You know some crazy ass people, lady.
Yeah, when my son got involved in my marriage, he said, I got to use your bathroom, Mom. I said, go ahead and use my bathroom. It's in the bedroom there. Well, he was in there looking for my computer, looking for evidence for his dad so he can nail me for the divorce. It didn't work because Denise brought a phone book down here from South Carolina, up here from South Carolina, and he got me like within the last week with divorce papers, and I just opened up the phone book and went, whoop, right there. And this guy goes, yeah, I know that, Lord. I'll take care of you. So he ended up having to pay me $55,000 plus $500 a month for child support for my daughter.
Right. Wow.
So, he came to the apartment and Al and I were loading up the U-Haul and he said, and I went over and talked to him and he said, I need to talk to you. I said, no, you don't. I said, you're free. Go on, be free. Go do what the hell you want now. You don't need my permission.
Right.
And I walked away and that's the last I saw him.
He must be, Al, how do I say this? Al's not a small man.
No. Neither am I.
Not, Al's not John Burton.
Right.
Al's not John Burton. I would have, I mean, wasn't he intimidating?
No, he just wanted to talk to me. He didn't care. He sat there and looked at Al, and I just told him to go on, be free, go do what you want. I mean, Christmas came around, and he went to his brother's Christmas morning instead of coming over to the apartment, seeing his daughter. I mean, I had a gift and stuff for him too, and his daughter had a gift for him, and he didn't come till like 9 o'clock at night, and he came to my apartment. I gave him his gift, and I said, "Get the hell out of here. You could have came earlier. Your daughter was sick. You didn't have to go anyplace else first. You could have came and seen us first. We were just right down the road." So, I mean, it's just, he's a very selfish person. He was raised as the only child. Even though he had other siblings, he was raised as the only child.
Do you wish you met Al like really early in life, or do you think it had to happen this way?
I think it had to happen this way.
Okay.
I think there's a reason. There's a reason. Things happen the way they do. I don't know what they are, but there's reasons why they happen the way they do in life, the cycle of life.
Right. How do you feel about Al Pill in a book?
It's interesting. I can't wait to read it. I'm just wondering what the rest of the family's going to think about if they read it, if they see it.
Yeah. I think we should make sure they see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it'll be out there because I'll post it on Facebook too. Go get your copy.
Yeah. Do you journal or anything? Do you do any writing?
No. I was for a while when I was going to counseling and trying to put my thoughts and stuff down, but it wasn't helping me. I just couldn't think. I got too much anxiety to put things down on paper. I pace. I panic. My mind starts wandering other places. Like taking this trip, my mind is wandering. Like, how the hell can a plane get from where we're going all the way over to where we're going without fueling? That's on my mind. But yet a Seth bomber, when we're going over to bomb another country, they got to fuel midair. How does a plane not have to fuel midair? And I get my mind thinking about, they're going to do something with our dog because she's going to go on another flight. They're going to take my dog and put her in a puppy mill. My mind runs that way. It never stops. There's always something on a Ferris wheel. Runs constantly on a Ferris wheel. It stops, something gets off, and it starts running again.
Wow.
Never stops. My mind just goes crazy.
And are you able to like rationally think, well, wait a second, other people have gone to where you're going, so it must work, right? I mean,
I just went to counseling yesterday. I had a counseling appointment yesterday, and she went to Europe, to British, the British Columbia, stuff like that. I said, how did you handle the flight? I am like freaking out going this way, doing this. And she said, I just put my earbuds on and look at pictures of my dog and my cat and listen to an audio book. And I don't know if that's going to help. I think once I get going, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
It's just getting there.
How long is the flight?
I think it's 14, 15 hours. We have three different ways we can go. We can go into Abu Dhabi, which is an Arab country. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to that country right now.
Makes sense.
We can go into Korea, or we can go into Japan, Tokyo, or Seoul, Korea. So
Japan sounds good.
I'm thinking Japan because
I'm right there with you.
Furthest away from what's going on. And now you look at a map, you go this way. You're going across where all the wars go on at, and Iran and stuff. But if you go this way towards California over the water that way, you can get to Japan quicker that way. But we're going to be going out of Chicago.
Right.
We got a friend taking us to Chicago with the dog, and then the pet locator is going to meet up with us in Chicago and take the dog from us. And then we'll catch a plane from Chicago. We'll go straight to Japan.
Have you had dogs your whole life?
Yes. Well, not when I lived with my second husband, the one I was married to for 25 years. We had a dog, and he was abusive to her. Kept her in the laundry room all the time, and chewed a hole through the sheetrock, and rolled me on the floor, so he really beat the hell out of her. I think that's your own fault for keeping her locked up in there. But yeah, I've had dogs my whole life. My kids had hamster, gerbils.
I don't think it's any coincidence that almost every trauma victim that I've interviewed has a really close relationship to dogs.
Yeah, I have her, my counselor wrote me a note that she's my service animal. She's my emotional support dog. So I can take her with me on the plane if I wanted to and have her with me at all times.
Well, your dog's as big as the plane, so you got to worry about that.
Yeah.
you do not have a small dog.
No.
I have a theory about why it is that trauma victims and dogs get along so well. I think for trauma victims, like, relationship is fraught, right? I don't know. It's going to take me years to trust you. I'm going to have to verify what you say for a long time before I just take for granted that you're telling the truth. If you've been physically abused, I have one eye on you the whole time. And I think because communication with dogs is essentially nonverbal, you can consolidate that whole, like how many years did it take for you and I before you just said, okay, I trust everything you said?
Probably the past 5 years.
Yeah. So you're together like 10 years before you get to that point of complete comfort. With a dog, they consolidate that 10 years into like 10 minutes. And
yeah. I mean, Al wanted to get married years ago, but I didn't. I was not ready to after 25 years. I didn't want to up until 5 years ago. And back in 2020, that's when we got married. I decided, well, let's get married.
But he's good. He's a good guy, though. Oh.
Yeah, he got. He probably didn't tell me, but he got left at the altar one time.
What?
Yeah, he got left at the altar by his one girl he was with. She had everything lined up, and a week before they were supposed to get married, she decided to cancel.
But didn't tell him?
Oh, well, told him. I mean, his mom's the one that rearranged everything. She took control of the wedding because she's a control freak. So she wanted these colored dresses. She wanted everybody to wear this and that. And men were wearing these suits. And this is the color suits they were going to wear. And I think her name was Chris at the time. She had enough of the bullshit. And a week before the wedding, she canceled. Invitations went out.
Did you guys have a formal wedding, or how did you guys do it?
We go to a Lutheran church down the street, the next about 4 or 5 blocks down the road, and we had just a small ceremony during COVID. I didn't want a certain side of his family. I don't care for a certain side of his family. They're Catholic, and I don't not have anything against Catholics, but this side is just all into money and with their nose in the air. And then he's got one side that's his godmother. Side, they're really laid back and stuff. They were there, but we just had, there's probably about 8 people at the church, and we did it outside the church, the ceremony outside. You know, the reverend wore a mask and stuff. You didn't have to wear a mask at that time, but so we got married July 11th. So we got 5 years coming up.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Is it hard for you to be touched because of all of this?
No, it's not hard to be touched. It's more hard for me to touch him at times.
Okay.
Well, right. He's gone through the intimacy part. It's taken a long time for him.
Did you guys figure that out?
Yeah, we figured that out real quick. It took some time, but I was patient, and he kept apologizing. I said, there's no apologies to be worried about. Everything you've been through, it's going to take time. I have time. It's not like I'm a nymphomaniac and got to have it 24/7. I got patience. I can wait a long time. I mean, I did a long time in my marriage. It went a long time because once I figured he was messing around, I mean, and to this day, he calls to this day and professes his love to me, and Al listens to him on the phone, that he never cheated on me. Well, when I thought he was, I wouldn't have anything to do with anybody, him especially, because I didn't know who he was messing with. He was at the nudie bars. He was at doing, you know, stuff like that and having lap dances done and stuff like that. So I don't know who the hell he was touching, what the hell they had. So he wasn't going to touch me, you know.
Never understood. Like, I've never understood guys that go to, like, strip joints and bars like that. People say it demeans women. I say it demeans men.
Yeah.
You're there with a dollar in your hand, convincing yourself that lady likes you.
Right, right. And all she wants is your money.
Right, right. There's no place for a man to look dumber than like one hair fight strip joint story. So this is like 35 years ago. I'm married 25, so this has got to be like 35 years ago. I start dating this girl who's an aerobics instructor, right? And we're dating. And she's never available on Friday and Saturday nights. So a few months into this, I go, like, what's the deal with Friday and Saturday night? Why are you, you're available all the other times except that. What's going on? She goes, okay, I'm a stripper. And I'm like, well, I don't care. That's fine. She goes, okay, but now that you know that, you have to come see me. And I'm like, don't make me come see you. Because if you're bad at it, I won't be able to get that out of my mind. And it'll end things.
Right.
I go there. She's horrible. And she was a smoke show. She was gorgeous, but like, she just was awkward and artificial and blah, blah, blah. So I leave. She comes over to the house at like 2 o'clock and I broke up with her right then and there because I'm like, I'm never going to be able to forget what I saw.
Wow.
Yeah. I just think that's a bad look for men to go to places like that.
Yeah. Well, Al goes once in a while with his friend Scott. They'll go, they call it the shooting range. They're going to the shooting range. So I know when they're talking about the shooting range, they're going, but I mean, I would have had a problem with it if I was to go with them and see, you know,
right.
Take your wife and go and have a good time or whatever. But when you do it behind your wife's back, that's just bad. And then my ex at that time was, I had my nephew in town and he was visiting. We were going to do family things and he worked third shifts. He worked all different shifts or whatever. But anyways, I got my cable bill and my cable bill was $150. And I couldn't figure out why, so I got looking at my cable bill and all this porno stuff that's on my cable bill he ordered.
Right.
And, oh, I didn't know. I thought it was for free. Yeah, right, my ass. Mm. And I was in the bathroom one time, cleaning out underneath the bathroom sink, and lo and behold, Hollywood Video. I don't know if you remember Hollywood Video when it was around.
No.
The video store. So it was like, it's like Blockbuster. It's what's called Hollywood Video. Here and behold, underneath the bathroom sink, what do I find? DVDs of porn. And my kids could have got a hold of it and put it in the DVD player. So I took that and I broke that in half. He said, I got to pay for it. So that's your problem, not mine. You know, so you had to pay out $20 for a DVD that I found.
But
I mean, if you're going to watch it, so watch it with your wife. Don't do it behind their back. I mean...
It would be hard for a man to suggest that because you don't know how your wife's going to react, but.
Right.
But you, I mean, you're obviously, you would obviously be okay with it.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Where do you stand with God and religion? Cause you said you go to a Lutheran church. Are you?
Well, we haven't been in a while. I believe in God. I believe he's a power, move all things. I mean, don't shove it down people's throats. It's just my belief I keep to myself.
Right.
I try to go to church every Sunday when we go.
Do you pray?
It makes me feel better in the inside to go.
Good.
You know, so it balances me.
Right. Do you pray at all?
I pray. I pray in my mind. And when my mind is wandering, God jumps in there, says, calm down, slow down.
Well, there you go.
Take a deep breath. Al helps me out a lot by getting my mind off a lot of stuff and helps me move on and tries to comfort, gets me thinking other directions and stuff like that. Like I do him.
Do you exercise well? Do you work out or?
Well, since we don't have a car lately, I've been working and walking.
Fair
enough. But no, I when I was in my 40s, that's when I felt my best. I was about 127 pounds. And I ran a 10K with my daughter. And I just quit smoking. I just quit smoking like a month and a half prior before. Was working out, getting in shape, and her and I ran it an hour and a half. It was 6.2 miles, but I mean, it was over a bridge in South Carolina called the Cooper River Bridge. It's a really long span bridge.
Right.
I mean, the Kenyans finish it in 20 minutes.
Well, okay, but...
Because they're used to running.
I was about to say...
By the time they were finished, I was just getting started at the beginning of walking. So, Yeah, so I did run a 10K with my daughter, and she was 16 at that time. So yeah,
that's kind of cool. And I'm pretty sure they didn't quit smoking a month and a half before either.
No, and there was a lot of people behind me. There's over 10,000 people still behind me running, so I know I was doing pretty good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
My 16-year-old didn't keep up with other people, so yeah.
So what's taking care of Al, do you see improvement, or do you just kind of think like, hey, this just is what it is? Or has there been improvement? And B, do you think like this next, you guys are doing a pretty extreme thing going forward. Do you think that's going to make like a massive difference?
I do. I think it's going to make a massive difference on him getting out of Michigan, getting away from everybody. Like me, I have my daughters in Kansas. I have my son in South Carolina. I don't have any family here. I have my niece here, but she's too busy up in your upper part of Michigan doing her thing. She's got a new beau and stuff like that. But I think it's going to be good for both of us to get out of here, to see a new light at the end of the tunnel, start fresh. I don't think Al will have to look over his back so often like he does. I mean, we're out. He's looking at the cameras when we're going out. He's looking at cameras in stores. He's touchy-feely, everything, you know, looking around his shoulder, looking behind his back. Every time he sees a California license plate, he speeds up and freaks the hell out of me. He wants to make sure that that's not them in the car or being followed. Things like that, I think, will get better.
Right.
I think he'll be more at ease doing this.
Do you... Can you imagine what that feels like, or are you just going to experience it when it happens? Or like, are you hopeful, or are you just?
I'm hopeful for both of us. I mean, I need that to get, I think by me leaving too, it's going to help my mind slow down a little bit. I was telling my counselor that I have smiled and laughed. I feel guilty smiling and laughing. I don't feel like I have that right.
Why?
Just everything I've been through. It just doesn't, I'm just always focused on something. It's like I can't relax and just...
Okay.
I mean, he laughs at videos and stuff on his phone and stuff like that. And I can't. It takes a lot to make me laugh. I'm real so serious in my life. Like, I took care of my grandmother. And then I would go... My dad had a massive heart attack. I took care of him in the hospital for a while. My grandfather, when he had a bypass surgery, he had a big hole right here in his hand. It had to be packed from, like, it was like that deep in his arm. It had to be packed when he was foreign. And then when I got married, my husband at the time, Mike, I had to take care of his parents. His mom was dying of lung cancer. So I was in take care of her with his aunt. We were taking turns, taking shifts, because his sister's in the military, not military, but they're missionaries she's married to a preacher. So I would take care of his mom. And then his dad got sick a few years later, and then he was bedridden and depends. So I had to change him. And he's like, you shouldn't be doing this. I'm like, Daddy, just put a pillow over your head. Just let me do this. You can't sit in this all dang day till your son gets home. So I take care of him, you know, and then take care of my mom, and then take care of Al's mom. And then my kids are in play with that and trying to work, you know, go to school functions and be a room mom monitor at that time. And it's just one thing. Now I can finally breathe a little bit and just have to worry about me and Al and the dog. I don't have to about taking care of anybody, running to a nursing home, you know, things like that.
God.
It's been one thing after the other. So now it's time for, I told my son the other day, I think I have that right to sit back and take care of me for a change. I've been taking care of everyone my whole life. Now it's time for mom to look out for her. I'm sorry that I'm moving so far away and you're worried you can't get to me. But you can't get to me now.
Right.
South Carolina, so don't worry about it. I'll be fine. You know, they really don't know Al. So they just know we've seen them on Facebook. They haven't met in person. My kids have. Just my daughter.
Right.
And so I think he's worried about that, if I'm going to be taken care of properly over there. And he's just worried. And I told him I'll be fine. You know, everything's going to work out just fine. So I said, we're just going to do it as a trial run. We don't do this. We don't try. We'll never know.
Right. Right.
You know, might have regrets later on. So, like I say, I think it's going to be a big relief for me and a big relief for him.
I think and I don't mean romantic in like the love interest sense, but I think it's so romantic that two people who've been down such dramatic, traumatic roads find each other and then ultimately say, fuck it. We're better off if it's just the two of us. We should go someplace where it's just the two of us.
Well, if we were to stay here, I told him, if we were to stay here, because he's leaving up to me and I want to go, part of me wants to stay, part of me wants to go, because I'm just got that scare of flying over there. If we were to stay here, we were going to move someplace, but we weren't going to tell anybody for a while.
Right.
I didn't want to be bothered. I don't want to be bothered by nobody.
Right.
You know? So, but we're going to go and try this and hope it works out.
I think it's beautiful. I love like that picture of like two banged up people that just like finally are like, you know, wait, I got this figured out. The world only works. Me and my wife are kind of like this too. The world only really works when it's the two of us in a row.
Right.
So let's just go someplace where that's so much easier to do.
Right, right.
Yeah. And it's beautiful there.
From what I'm seeing. The only thing my issue, and Al knows this, is the snakes over there. I'm not fond of the snakes. They have the vipers over there. They have the cobras over there.
Fuck that.
Yeah, and there's people that walk out their door because they have like an overhanging wood in your back porch. It's like a carport. And
right.
There'll be vipers laying right there, and they spit, you know, 6 feet. They can spit 6 feet.
What?
Vipers, yeah. There's black ones and there's green ones. And then they have like rat snakes that hang around your house that are like 6 feet long. They're looking for mice and rodents and stuff like that. So my thing is taking Zoe outside and looking for the snakes in the yard before she goes to the bathroom and letting her out, because they said the corn snakes, they're not harmless, but they bite and they have long teeth and they can make you bleed a lot. But I just don't want, I got to get an anti-venom kit in the house for the dog in case she gets bit. But yeah, we're going to get a house with a pool, so you have to look in the skimmer basket, because they like to hang in the skimmer baskets, you know, in the pool. So you have to, you got to look around for snakes and stuff. So that's my main concern, is snakes.
I was going to end the show by asking for an invitation to come visit you. I'm good. I'm just going to stay here. You got, we'll video chat, but I, dude, snakes.
But then there's people on there that say they've not seen a snake since they've been there in 5 years, so.
Okay.
I mean, I guess it depends. I don't want a house with a bunch of shrubbery, that's for sure.
Yeah. And you know, are you okay? What are you afraid of?
Getting bit. Not seeing
it. No, I mean in life. Not snake.
Dying. I'm afraid of dying. I have a fear of being alone.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I have a fear of being, I was telling Al this the other day, I have a fear of being alone. That's one of my main concerns, is getting over there and something happened to him and I'm stuck there and don't know how the hell to get back.
Mm.
I'll have the money to get back, but I don't know if I know how to get back.
Right.
That's my fear. I have a fear of being left alone, being a caregiver for all these, and being around people my whole life and taking care of people. It's a fear of being left alone. I don't want to be in a nursing home here in the United States, because they don't take care of you here. Like, they take care of you over there. They think godly of old elderly people over there because they've been through so much. They really take care of you over there. Versus here, they just throw you in a damn room and give you a blanket and pillow, and you're lucky you get a sandwich, you know?
Right.
So I seen how my mom was taking care of in a nursing home. She was overdosed one time, and I had to jump their ass and say, get her a damn sandwich now. I mean now. You know, and get her some food in her body. Oh, yeah, they overdosed her, my mom, in a nursing home.
Medication.
Yeah, and then they threw his mom with a blanket and a pillow and a bed in the corner.
What?
Another one, and she died 3 days later. So it's just like, yeah, but my fear is just being alone, being left alone. Nobody to talk to, nobody to do anything with, communicate.
Right.
Just being alone. I have that fear of being alone.
If Al gets bit by a giant snake, if Al gets eaten by a 25-foot snake, because that's how long a snake would have to be.
He's like, hey.
And you don't know how to get out of there, get Al's phone and call me. We'll figure it out.
We will make sure
you are not stuck there if you don't want to be there.
No, because I told him, I said, that's my fear, is running out of money over there, not being able to get home. But like we saw a video the other day, there was like a skewer about that long, and it had a piece of chicken on about that big, and it was only 15 cents.
Wow.
40 Thai baht, well, I think it's 15 cents. And I mean, you can go into a 7-Eleven and get a sandwich and a bag of chips and a Coke for under a dollar.
And it's gorgeous. I mean, man, I mean, it for you guys, I think for you guys, it makes all the sense in the world.
I'm going to have to get used to when I drink beer, because I'm a beer drinker. When I drink, I don't drink too many mainstream. I like light beer. They put it over ice. Yeah, you know, keep it in the refrigerator. They put it over ice. Yeah, so I got to get used to that one.
Yeah, but it's hot there, right? So you'll probably get used to it quick.
Right now it's monsoon season, and I don't think I like monsoon season, because monsoon season for like 4 or 5 months. It doesn't rain all the time over there. Just every day, a certain day, part of the day, it'll rain. It'll go away.
Yeah. Well, though, in fairness, we just went through a heat. I'm in New York. We just went through like this massive heat wave. So
here too.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. So there's no. The weather's shitty everywhere.
It is.
is my point. Do you if you go there and it works, do you ever foresee coming back or you just kind of think, all right, if it works, why would we?
I'd probably just stay there.
Yeah. What tricks, you mentioned blowing in the face, which is a beautiful trick. What else do you do to calm each other down?
He massages my shoulders. He talks to me in a monotone voice, doesn't get upset about anything, you know, and puts positive phrases back in what I'm thinking negative. He turns around and makes it a positive thing.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I go to counseling. They try to tell you, you know, look at 5 things that are brown, you know, taste something, smell something. Now that shit don't work. Not when you're having bad anxiety. You don't think about shit like that when you're having bad anxiety. You're thinking that usually, or I'm in a fight or flight mode. The past 2 or 3 months since we put the house up for sale, I'm in a fight or flight mode. And wow. Out of fight or flight mode, that's how bad my anxiety is. It's just like, yeah. With the house, because I mean, the way the realtor taught, the house was still in a month. Well, it was on the block for 2 months, you know, instead of 1 month. He wasn't understanding why it wasn't going, so he's making me panic, like the house ain't gonna sell, and you know, we want to get out of here, and
right,
and I want to fight with it, and then I want to fight with him because I don't think he's doing enough for his money's worth, you know, selling the house like he should be in. So I have to keep my mouth shut the past 2 months. So, but now it's all over. But when I get my bad anxiety attacks, Al's got to calm me down pretty good. I mean, he gets in his moods where he knows what to do. So I don't know how he does it, but he gets me calmed down. I mean, the tears be flowing, and I have bad panic attacks. I'm on 20 milligrams of Valium a day. Right now, and I used to be on more than that, but I weaned myself down.
How come you're not nervous doing this then? You're really good at this.
Oh, I am. I'm nervous, but I'm so used to seeing him doing it, talking to you, so you just make it comfortable and easy. I mean, I was having bags before I came on. I was like, what is he going to ask me? How long is it going to take? I was like, no, it's not. Don't worry about it. Just sit there and relax. And
yeah, no, you're safe here. Do you think, like, because you've never had a chapter of peace in your life, right? You've always been taking care of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Never. What changes do you think are going to happen to you when you finally like are like, oh shit, I'm happy now? Like,
I'm hoping my mind, the Ferris wheel stops. You know, and things just jump off and don't come back on for a while, but I don't have to think about it, because my mind is even when I'm sleeping, my mind is constantly going. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and it will be on my mind, and it'll take me 20 minutes to go back to sleep and try to get that off my mind. That's the only way I can describe to my counselor. My mind is like a Ferris wheel. It's always running, like a mouse running in a Ferris wheel, and it stops and something jumps off, something else jumps back on, and start running again about else. And a lot of it has to do with my past with my ex. I have a lot of hard time getting that 25 years out of my brain, like he has tried to get the California and his mom off his brain.
Right.
He's fighting his mom and the California stuff. I'm fighting everything that my ex told me in my brain, and trying to come to conclusion that what he told me is not real. He's wrong. I'm right. You know, but it doesn't help when he calls you on the phone, and I was like, put him on speakerphone. I want to hear what he's got to say. So I put him on a speakerphone. He's like, is Al there? And I'm like, no, he's not there. He goes, okay. And then he continues his conversation. Al's sitting there hearing everything he's saying.
You know, you just gave that secret away on like a podcast, right?
Yeah.
That trick no longer works.
Right.
No, so, it'll be all right. He probably won't catch it. Do you, why do you take his calls at all then if he's makes you crazy?
Well, we have children together. We still discuss the children, what's going on with the children.
Right. No, that makes sense.
You know, even though they're up in their age and stuff like that, we still got, like, my son's drinking right now, and he quit for like 9 months, and now he's back drinking again. Right. He's not drinking hard stuff. He's drinking light beer, but still, I mean.
Still got alcohol in it, yeah.
Yeah, and his uncle just died of alcoholism, and he knows my dad died of it. My brother's got Alzheimer's from it and dementia, whatever, from it, and he's still. I told him, you'll quit when you're in your 40s. That's when I did. He goes, no, I won't, Mom. No. I said, oh, you will.
Right.
You'll get tired of it. You just quit.
You get scared. You need your brain back.
Yeah.
Are you good at quitting things? Like, are you good at, like, was quitting drinking hard for you?
No, when I came up here, I didn't hardly drink at all. I mean, we had a drink last night just to celebrate the house. You know, I had a couple beers, and now I had a couple raspberry Stolies with Sprite. We had some steak dinner last night, and that's it. But no, I really don't crave beer. The only time I really crave beer, if I'm outside in the heat doing yard work or something, I'd like a cold beer afterwards or something like that. Or special occasion.
Yeah. Are you going to be able to do yard work where you're going, or are you just going to worry about snakes the whole freaking time? There's no yard work where you're going.
We're going to get a place that has a gardener that comes once a month. I'm not getting out there where the snakes are doing no damn yard work.
Uh-uh. There you go.
No.
Do you ever think about writing your own book?
No. I don't know if anybody would read it, be interested in reading it. I just keep it to myself and just try to go about my day and try not to think about it. I mean, I don't think about my brother too much, what he did to me. I mean, I think about, like I say, everything has to do with being married to somebody for 25 years and have, so I've been with this guy since I was 18 years old.
Right.
Been married to him. I was 30 years married to him by the time I got divorced.
Was the divorce hard? Was it ugly?
He was down there and I was up here. So, like I said, I picked out a phone book and brought it up here with me, and he thought he was going to sink me.
Right.
And he was going to have to pay a damn thing. Well, he didn't know that I brought a South Carolina phone book up here for a lawyer.
Right.
Papers were being served, and the server got a hold of me and said, you need to do this now because otherwise you're going to get sunk in your divorce if you don't take these papers now. So I had the papers delivered over to his mom's house a couple blocks away because I didn't want him to know where I lived at. And I got the papers, and I just, like I say, I pointed to a lawyer in a phone book, called him, told him the situation was going on. This was his lawyer's name. He goes, oh, I know him. I'll take care of this for you. And he did care of it for me. And Al's mom paid for the divorce. And then when I got my divorce money back, I paid her back the money.
Right.
She's right, you know, for my divorce. So. It's painful being married for somebody 25, 30 years and you get divorced after knowing somebody all that time and have children with them, and it hurts.
It is, but on the other hand, you're kind of perfectly where you're supposed to be.
Yeah. I figured when I left, I took that jump when I left because I came home with keys in my hand. And he goes, what's those? And I said, they're the keys to my new place. He had no problem getting a U-Haul, moving my daughter and I out with all the furniture and stuff like that, with a little bit of furniture he allowed us to take. He had no problem with that. But yeah, he had the balls to want to show up the day I was leaving with Al. And he wanted to profess his love and still professes his love to me. And he's married. He got married 9 months to the date of our divorce.
Ouch.
Yeah, and to somebody that's heavier than I am. And still professes calls to this day and still professes his love to me.
Some guys are dicks, man.
He was a good provider. He was a good husband, but he just had selfish ways and did stupid stuff. And that just cost him his marriage.
Are you conscious of what you eat? Are you like a healthy eater?
Right now, I pretty much, I eat once a day. I got 40 pounds on me more than I had before, which I got to get off me, which is fine with me because I'm going through menopause. So I'm figuring that's where a lot of the... Yeah, I've been going through menopause since 2018. So
you're going to hang up on me when I say this. But so it was a good interview and I loved meeting you, but you're going to hang up on me when I say this. If you think you're going through menopause, Al is going through menopause.
Right.
Menopause. What? You know how like they say, people hate when I talk about that. Because Trish is going through menopause too, and I do work with another organization about suicide prevention, and we just talk that's about menopause then. And the first thing I do, I'm telling you, you're going to hate me when I do this. I go, they list the symptoms of menopause, right? And it's like hair loss, weight gain.
Weight gain, got that.
Hormone changes. Yeah. It's harder to lose the weight. Yeah. Sleep gets affected.
Yeah.
Moods are harder.
I didn't really have the mood swings. I think because
there you go.
I think I'm the Abilify for my mood, so I didn't really have the mood swings. But
But when I go through that checklist of symptoms, and then because I'm going to be 62 in a couple months. So I go through that checklist of symptoms and I'm like, hey, guess what? Me too. Harder for me to lose weight now.
Right.
I mean, so I'm like, maybe a lot of it is just getting old.
Yeah, I think well, my problem is the metabolism slowing down from the menopause and not getting off my butt and exercising, getting out walking like I should.
Yeah. To be fair, like Trish, she works out a lot. And she has to do a lot to manage it. Your body just puts it on, and there's not until you're over it. There's just not much you can do.
No, there's not. There's not much you can do. And Al eats candy every night. I don't eat candy. I mean,
yeah, Nick told me that, and I'm like, bro, for a guy with anxiety, candy before bed is probably the worst thing you can do.
He ate 2 bags of candy last night.
Two bags.
2 bags.
How come he's not 750 pounds?
I don't know. He. That's what makes me sick. You know, last night we had a steak dinner with baked potato and vegetables, and he had a couple drinks, and then he ordered an olive burger to bring home, and he ate that thing before he went to bed last night on top of 2 bags of candy, and he doesn't put on any weight, and it just pisses me off. I can't eat like that.
Tell him I quit. I'm not writing a book. That pisses me off, too. You gonna get a car when you're over there? Can you drive over there?
Yeah, we can get international drive. I think we're gonna try to get an international driver's license before we go because our license is good for 2 more years here in the States.
Okay.
But their driving over there is probably worse than New York's.
Really?
They have a lot of scooters, a lot of cabs, a lot
of get the
other vehicles. They have tuk-tuks over there.
What's a tuk-tuk?
It's like a motorcycle with 3 wheels with a back seat.
Okay, yeah.
No, we're not getting a vehicle when we're over there. We're just gonna do we can do a 5-minute ride for like $1 in an Uber there to take us where we need to go or someplace and pay for that. I'm not driving over there. I don't trust of driving over there.
When's the last time you cried?
I cried yesterday in counseling about going. Stress of the trip and stuff. Probably a month ago.
All right, that's not bad.
Probably a month ago. I have my moments where I break down, where I have bad anxiety. And I tell Al all the time I want to cry, but I've cried so much my whole life taking care of people that it's hard to get it out anymore.
Yeah.
I've shed so many tears. I lost a best friend, my best friend, the one I married, her brother, took stomach cancer about 10 years ago. She was 47. And my other girlfriend, that was my best friend, I lost her to colon cancer at the age of 42, down in Florida.
Jesus.
So I lost my best friend. So I don't have anybody to talk to except for Al. I don't socialize with anybody. It's too much drama. I attract the wrong people.
Right.
I had a friend that she's on lithium and she's on 3 other different types of drugs and she's got anxiety. She's got all these problems. And I attract people like that. And the same goes for my daughter. She ended up tracking kids when she was younger where the mother was on cocaine or the parents are going through divorce or the mother's missing. So I'd have all these kids at my house swimming in the pool instead of my daughter's having a pool party. And they spend 3 weeks at my house and parents could care less. It's like my daughter attracts different people too. It's like, what is it with us that just, you know, you're something wrong with you. It's like you attract the same type of people.
Right.
Anybody positive in my life to be around, there's always something wrong with them. And then I end up seeing it and they don't see it. Like the other girl I was hanging with recently that I quit seeing, I blocked her about a year ago. She was a narcissist and she was on all types of drugs for her anxiety and her issues where she got into a cult and she's vegan and she's trying to push this vegan shit down my throat and I wasn't having it and I was seeing for what and I finally just laid her out on the phone and blocked her and I have not talked to her since.
Mm.
And she comes to market where Al and I are selling rocks and brings a friend to fight her battles. And her friend's getting all up in my face. And I'm trying to ignore her because I don't want to get kicked out of market and jump up and start swinging.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No. So I just kind of ignored her and just kept my head down looking at my phone and just ignored her until she got away and, you know, was able to breathe because I knew I was going to get up and do damage.
It is. Tell me about the selling rocks thing.
Selling rocks?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a big relief on Sundays for us to be able to get out and do something and actually socialize, but feel in a safe zone with people that we knew and had regular customers coming by looking for things. If we couldn't find them, we'd find it for them for the following week if we could get a hold of it and have it there for them.
Right.
Paul taught me a lot about rocks' names and what they do and where he finds them at. I mean, you know, stuff like that. We did very well at market selling rocks, sometimes $400 or $500 a Sunday.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And now, I mean, the tables were like $13 and now the tables are like $30 and you can only go like once a month or something. They changed the rules. And
okay.
So we don't do it anymore. In fact, he just sold his rock collection that he had not too long ago. A few weeks ago, he sold it to some guy.
Wow. Do you, what do you think is the best possible case that could happen when you get there? Just that you find peace?
That I find peace, happiness, that I have the right to smile without looking over my shoulder, having people look at me like, what's wrong with you? Why are you disabled? You can get out and work. You know, I mean, because I don't have a disability that shows on the outside, they don't really know what's going on inside. I mean, a lot of people don't understand that. They talk to me thinking I'm fine. They don't, but they don't realize what I'm going through in the inside every day. And just being around a friendly atmosphere, not hustle and bustle anymore, something slow, calm, enjoying, relaxing, able to take it in and breathe it and live it instead of actually having to live through it.
Right, right, right.
Keep good memories inside and remove some of the bad memories. And, you know, I know the bad memories are always going to be there and they're going to be a part of my life. Those are the scars, the battle wounds, but it's trying to put it off to a distance and move on with something else to replace it.
Right. What do you think happens to us when we die?
I think we go into another dementia. Mm. I think we end up coming back here being reincarnated.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I think we come back here reincarnated as somebody else. I don't know why. I have a fear of water. I have a fear of drowning. I think I drowned in a lifetime.
Wow.
Have you ever seen
like a psychic or anything about that?
No. But just by hearing things and on Facebook or Instagram or people talking about things, you know, it makes you think, you know, they say there's a light. Don't go to the light, go to the dementia, but people go to the light. If there is a heaven, I hope I do get to see my loved ones there that I want to see, that I miss. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I miss my dad. My mom was abusive. I mean, I loved her for what she did for me. She gave me life. She kept food on the table, roof over our head. But so did my grandparents, because we lived with them for a long time, too.
Right. But
I more want to see my dad and my grandparents before I want to see my mom, I think, really, because my mom was abusive to my brother. I mean, and me. My brother was abused by my mom. Like when he'd get in trouble, she would fist and kick him, fist punch him and kick him on the floor.
Right.
Anything that anything my sister did or anything, I got in trouble. I got beat for it. But I was treated as the roughy toughy, and my twin was treated as the China doll. But she could do no wrong.
Right. Right.
Do you think you'd ever just be able to forgive? Do you think you'd be able to ever be able to forgive everybody and just say, I forgive you? Just not because what you did is okay, but just because I'm just so fucking tired of hanging on to all of it.
I have. Okay. I've let go. Letting go
is easier to
getting. Yeah, it's easier to send them getting it off my shoulders, but getting it out of my mind is a totally different thing.
Right. Right.
You know, I've let go and forgive a lot of people. But I just can't get out of my mind.
Yeah. You ever do psychotropics like mushrooms or anything for that?
I've only tried mushrooms once. I smoke weed.
What are mushrooms like? Because I've never tried it.
I don't know. I don't think I had enough to do anything. I didn't feel nothing.
Okay.
So I don't know.
That's kind of disappointing.
I've done gummies and smoked marijuana and drank, and that's it. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to do speed and stuff in school and stuff like that. Just trying things out as a teenager, you know, drinking and doing stuff.
Right.
Stupid stuff you do when you're a kid. But I don't do it now. I mean, I smoke weed still.
Right. Does that help?
Yeah, it helps slow my mind down.
Good.
But then other times, it all depends on what mood I'm in. It'll make me a little paranoid and get me thinking a little bit more.
Mm.
And get my heart racing too. So I got it depends on pick and choose what mood I'm in for it. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. What did I forget to ask you?
I don't know.
I think your story is beautiful. I really do. I love the idea that like two people who life just kept it, it's like you both needed taken care of and life prepared you both in this crazy unique way to be able to take care of each other.
Yeah, we don't fight, and when we do, it's usually me fighting with him, and I end up wanting to hit him, and I end up shoving him, but he don't move.
Well, how do you shove him? He's a trailer.
Just show him, you know, get out of my way. I try to push him to get out of my way. And yeah, I'm so mad. Just get the hell out of my way. And he's so big, he can't move. He don't move.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's like pushing a bus. Why bother?
It is, you know, and I'm just like, the hell with it. I just walk away from him, walk around him, and I just calm down within 5 minutes and we're back talking normal again. So it's we don't argue. Well,
walking around him probably takes a half hour too, because he's...
Right.
You play an instrument?
I played flute when I was in the fifth grade, but I never got a hold of it and really got into playing anything. No, I don't play any instruments.
Right. You sing?
No. Also, I can sing, but I don't sing. I sing in the car once in a while, but I'm not.
You're one of those who can but don't?
I don't think I have a good voice, but Al seems to think I do, but I don't think I do. But I
well,
just
he would know.
Well, he can sing.
I can sing?
Mm-hmm. I like the way he sings. He's always singing in the bedroom at nighttime. He plays music on YouTube in the bedroom at nighttime to get his mind unoccupied and sings and stuff like that. And why I'm out here watching my shows in the living room.
What's your favorite show?
I usually watch Roseanne, because I can listen to that and I can close my eyes and know what's going on. And it's soothing to me where I can fall asleep and relax.
Right. Trying to think if I forgot anything. I don't think I did. Do you think I forgot anything?
You think you forgot anything? I told him about where you left at the altar. Was her name Chris? Yeah, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he told me that story, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if first off, thank you very much for doing this.
Oh, and no problem.
You're really good at this. You should.
Al wants me to come on his podcast. I just got to get to to people and get to know people. I think. Well, I'm gonna have I have a page called Travel Leisure Fitness on Instagram, and I haven't been on it in a year. But once we get over there, I'm gonna start it up and just start showing Thailand over there. I'm not gonna show my face or anything like that, but I'm gonna show what Thailand's about while we're over there.
Cool.
Yeah.
You should definitely do his podcast. Yeah. One, he's really good at it.
Yeah, he is.
And two, now you have experience. So,
right.
So, you know, you can get the just, and it's so funny. Like my wife, she's a third grade teacher and she's brilliant at it. Just absolutely brilliant. She was born to do it. She knew she wanted to teach third grade when she was 4 years old. There's pictures of her teaching empty chairs when she's 4 years old. She's just always wanted to do it. And she's, you know, in her district, she's regarded as the best, and it's definitely her thing. You get her home and like the community, I'm like, how do you communicate so brilliantly professionally? And at home, you don't communicate at all, or not, you don't communicate well verbally at all. She makes up words and we laugh about it now, but it was powerful. So I started interviewing her on a podcast. She's better at it than I am. I'm like, what is it about you when you stick a microphone in front of you? All of a sudden you can talk. Maybe you're like that. Maybe you're like her. Maybe you're just like really good with a mic in front of you.
I don't know. I'm pretty shy when we're out. I don't say much of anything until after I have a couple beers. I mean, when I get my couple beers, I'll be like running my mouth like no tomorrow. So I told him I probably should have a couple beers before I hit talking to you. It was like.
if we do a follow-up episode, it's got to be after lunch and you got to have a couple beers for lunch.
Right. Yeah. But, yeah, so I can't wait to go. Like I say, I'm just nervous about flying. As you can see, behind me, we got Zoe's crate there. We're hoping it's not too big for the.
Right. Yep, I can see. Yeah.
It's like a huge crate. It's extra, extra large crate. So we got to call about that. But just getting over there and getting a dog and being on solid ground and finding a house over there that we want to rent out.
Right.
The right one with the right furniture in there. Make sure it has a stove in it. Because I've seen some over there where they have propane tanks in the kitchen hooked up to the stove. I'm not having that in my house when I'm over there.
Yeah. No, you don't want that.
We're looking at like a 25,000 baht per month house over there, which is $700-something.
That's insane.
Then for internet, water, electricity, and your phone is like $50. So it's like $800 a month over there to live on. And then, like I say, we can eat three meals a day together under $20.
It's crazy.
It is. So it's going to be nice not to have to worry and be able to go out and be able to do something. We can't do anything here in the States. You know, we don't have the money to go out and do anything. We're always stuck at home.
Right.
Go out and do anything, you know. So it's going to be nice to be able to save money and actually go out maybe with another couple and do, you know, a lunch or a dinner or whatever. You know, something like that.
Fantastic, man. Well, congratulations on everything good that's happened.
Thank you.
And I don't have to take notes because this is all recorded. So I'm going to go through all this and work a lot of it into the book. And I'm excited about that. I'm really excited about this book, by the way, man. I think it's...
Yeah. I don't know. You were talking about suicide and stuff. I tried to commit suicide. Al's tried to commit suicide. Growing up. I was a cutter.
Were you?
Yeah, I was a cutter for a while. I tried to take pills, but my ex-husband stopped me. So I've tried a few times attempt. Al has attempted to go to the hospital. Went to the hospital, pumped his stomach.
Yeah.
He was a teenager. So, yeah, we've been through some similar things.
But that kind of makes you, it's a theme that keeps happening. Like, you're so tailor-made to take care of each other, though, because
I'm thankful that we both have each other. I mean, we see eye to eye. We see, we don't argue. So we don't argue. We see pretty much even on everything.
Right. That's beautiful. And I'm glad you're doing better, too. That's important, too.
Yeah, I've been in counseling. I've been in counseling since 2010, 2012. I've been in counseling.
All right.
Go once a month.
All right.
3 to 4 weeks I go.
Right.
Yeah.
And you see progress? Question mark.
It's able for me to get what's out of my. We don't go about my past. We talk about what's going on right now, usually, so I can get through the day, what I'm going through now, what anxiety I'm having, what I'm dealing with right now.
Right.
I get counseling and stuff like that. So I don't know why they don't want to go into my past. But every time Al goes in there, they want to go and dig deep into his past, and that's what turns him off. You know, it's like, what happened that caused you to be like this? I mean, take some notes, listen, you know, do your job. You know, it's like, yeah,
no, I hear you. All right, I'm gonna leave you. You are brilliant. Thank you so much for this.
All right, John. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah.
No, I appreciate it. When I hang up, don't hang up though, because I hit stop and then it takes like a couple seconds to upload. So bear with me for 1 second.
Okay.
And we can talk during it, but hold on for 1 second.